Hi everyone, this is Gene Montrastelli, and welcome to the January teaching call for the Ruas Center. Tonight what we're going to do is we're going to spend some time talking about and even tapping a little bit about what to do when we have lost our motivation. It's really interesting. Over the course of the last week, as I've been preparing resources for tapping Q&A, and looking at statistics around New Year's resolutions and people being motivated and stuff like that, what we found is that most people become disconnected from or lose their resolutions within the first 10 days of the year. Some statistics have it as high as 78%. And a lot of that comes from the way we set up our New Year's resolutions and set our goals. If you're having trouble setting your goals, I'd really encourage you to go into the goal setting area on the website. We got a huge number of resources that will walk you through creating goals in a fashion that is reasonable, that will help you to stay connected to them, and will augment some of the stuff that we're doing tonight in how to stay motivated. The problem with motivation is until something becomes habitual, we are in a circumstance in which we're simply doing things on willpower. And willpower it's a resource, and it's actually a limited resource. It's not something that we have unlimited access to. We don't have an unending supply of willpower. And the more willpower we exert over the course of the day, and studies have shown this, that the more willpower that we spend, the less willpower we have later in the day. And so when we're trying to stay motivated, if we don't do things to make it easier for us to be successful, and if we don't do things to leverage that motivation, then as the day goes along, and as we face questions and struggles and things that aren't natural for us to do in a successful way, then it puts us into a position where that motivation becomes harder and harder, and it's hard for us to move forward, and it's hard for us to be successful. So tonight, what I'd like to do is I would like to share with you 8 things that I have found which are really useful and helpful in moving forward and helping you to stay motivated as you're trying to work towards your goals. As always, as we're moving through the 8 things tonight, these points, if you have any questions for those of you who have joined us via the webcast, in the left-hand side of the screen, you'll see a box where you can type in a question. And I will get that question if you've called in. If you press star 2, that will raise your hand, and I will see that you've raised your hand. And as we are moving through this evening, we will be in a circumstance that if you have questions, those questions will be answered, and we'll be able to take care of all of that. Excuse me. Sorry about that. So, 8 things that we can do in order to help us to stay motivated. The first couple of them have to do not necessarily with the motivation that we have right now, but in looking backwards and our experience with motivation in the past. Oftentimes when we make a decision about something that we would like to see different in our life, it's really easy in the beginning to just be super, super excited about it. And we start making plans and we see how this new thing integrates into our life. And it's easy to be in a place that's very excited and ready to go forward. And like I said, this motivation is a limited resource. And it's very easy once we go past the initial visioning stage and start to get into the place where the rubber meets the road, and we're having to make difficult decisions, and we're having to change old habits, and we're having to learn new skills, and we're having to put ourselves out there. And all of those things that we're regularly tapping for, that we struggle with to move forward, that it's easy for us to have this experience of being super excited and then being super disappointed when we end up failing at moving towards that goal. And so I think the first thing that we can do when we're dealing with a lack of motivation, or we're setting ourselves up to be motivated so that we can make the choices that we want to make, is to spend some time paying attention to, in the past, times that we have been motivated and then we have let ourselves down, or we've let other people down because that motivation didn't last very long and it went from talking big dreams to being disappointed very, very quickly. So I would really encourage you to take a few moments at some point and just think about that. Think in your past, think of the times that you were really excited about something and that dream, that goal, quickly fell by the wayside. And so I would take some time to do that, and then I would just tap on something very simple like this. And if you'd like to tap along with us this evening, you're more than welcome to. So just to begin with, tap on the side of the hand and take a nice big deep breath. And as we go through this, just go from tapping point to tapping point in the order that makes the most sense for you. I know what it's like to be really excited. I know what it's like to be really motivated. To have big dreams about how much better my life is going to be once I achieved some goal. And when I thought of that dream, when I thought of that excitement, when I saw how great my life was going to be, I got swept away in the excitement. And I could feel myself as if I almost had it. And it felt so good. And it felt so real. And very quickly, that feeling evaporated. As action didn't happen, as dreams fell by the wayside, as the busyness of life crept back in. And because I know how quickly enthusiasm and excitement can evaporate, there is a part of me that might be gun-shy when it comes to feeling motivated. When it comes to wanting to move forward, when it comes to wanting to chase some dream. And I appreciate the fact that this part of me is a little bit gun shy, that this part of me is a little bit worried that things might not exactly work out. And I hate the feeling of dashed dreams. And I hate the feeling of unrealized potential. And I hate the feeling of having that excitement evaporate. And so I can appreciate the fact that there is a part of me that doesn't want to get carried away in the excitement. But I know that if I set myself up for success, if I leverage my willpower well, I am much more likely to be successful. I am much more likely to move forward. It's good there's a part of me that's a little gun-shy. But I give myself permission to move forward in such a way that I allow myself to embrace the excitement, knowing that excitement doesn't always have to end in tragic disappointment. Nice deep breath. And you can obviously spend as much time with that as you need to and pay attention to any of the specific aspects that you have. But anytime we've had something go wrong before, the moment we start going down that path again, there's a part of us that is going to be hesitant because it doesn't want that negative experience again. So the first thing that we can do to help us to stay motivated is to tap for the times in which our motivation was there and then it evaporated and we weren't very successful. So number one. The second thing we can do is when we feel a sense of demotivation, when we don't have that motivation there, is to tap for the emotions we have about the experience we're having. And I think this is really good advice. And I've talked about this on a number of calls with a number of different topics in the past. But before we can get to the core issue of the problem, if we feel an emotion about the problem, then that's almost like this hard candy shell that's preventing us to get at the heart of the emotion. And so before we tap for this feeling of demotivation and not having motivation there, tune in and check and see how you feel about not being motivated. You know, because sometimes I can be really frustrated with myself that the motivation isn't there. I actually had a client call this afternoon that's where we started. The client, she was like, you know, it's the beginning of the year and I have no goals and I just really don't have any motivation about having any goals. And that's really disappointing. And so there's this emotion of disappointment that exists about not being motivated. And that's going to be a barrier for us to moving to a place where we are motivated. So if you're in a state of not being motivated, ask yourself, how do I feel about not being motivated? And we could be frustrated and we could be disappointed and we can be saddened and we could be angry that someone else has stolen our motivation or whatever it is. But it's really important that we take the time to tap for that, to clear that out of the way, to give us some space to move forward in a way that is healthier and is going to be easier to do. And so whichever one of those emotions are, use any of the tapping tools that you have to go after them specifically. So after we've tapped for past places where we have lost motivation, the current demotivation that we have, we want to tap for the emotions that we have for that. Now, the third thing, or the third kind of tactic we can take in dealing with not being motivated or ensuring that we do stay motivated, is to tap specifically for the feeling of not being motivated. And the way that I like to do this is I like to take the two emotions and I like to experience them back to back. And so the way this works is, and let's try this, okay? I want you to start by just tapping on the tippy top of your head, take a nice big deep breath. And I want you to, if you're experiencing this right now, I want you to tune into the feeling of lack of motivation. And if you're not feeling it about something right now, remember what that feeling feels like. And as you tap on the eyebrow, just really tune in and tune up that feeling. As you tap on the side of the eye, is it a distracted feeling? Is it a heavy feeling? Is it a molasses feeling? Under the eye, or is it just having no energy and just feeling blah? Just really feel what that feels like. Now, as you tap under the nose, I want you to switch. I want you to imagine what it's like to feel really motivated. Remember one of those times of real motivation. I like to think of trying on the feeling, like I'm putting on a suit so I can feel what it feels like to be motivated. And as you tap on the chin, just really let that heighten, really let it grow. For me, motivation is clear head. Tap under the arm. For me, motivation is a really, really sharp vision. Side of the hand. For me, motivation is energy, but it's not a frantic energy. It's a really driven energy. It's not going a million different directions. It's almost like laser beam. So whatever it is for you, just really tune into that sensation. Just try it on and just feel it everywhere. Tippy top of the head, nice big deep breath. And as you tap on the eyebrow, I want you to tune back into the feeling of not being motivated, a feeling lazy, a feeling disconnected. And as you tap on the side of the eye, probably what you're going to notice is the characteristics of this feeling of not being motivated aren't as sharp, aren't as pronounced, aren't as heavy. And as you tap under the nose, again, just heighten whatever is remaining. As you tap on the chin, take a nice big deep breath, and once again, switch. Go back to the other side. Tune back into that sense of really being motivated, really being sharp, of really being ready to go. That feeling that action just flows out of you, and movement is easy, ideas come quickly. Take a nice big deep breath. And once again, just tune back over to that sense of lack of motivation. Again, you should have noticed in some capacity that that's diminished, it's been undermined, it's not as strong, it's not as sharp. And so when I'm tapping for a feeling, a sensation, an energy, a disposition, and motivation is one of those things, this is the way I like to do it. I like to switch back and forth between the state that I'm in and the state that I want to be in. The state that I'm in, the state that I want to be in. And by going back and forth multiple times, what it's going to do is it's going to put me into a position where it makes it a lot easier for that to become real. Because what happens when we do things like this, you know, when we're tapping on the negative aspect and the positive aspect, when I'm tapping on the negative aspect, I'm tuning into every single part of me that's negative. That's great. That's what I need to do to be experiencing it. When I tune into the positive side of it, it's not as much that I'm tapping the positive side in, but any resistance I have to that positive sensation is going to come forward, and it's going to give me the opportunity to tap for that. Let me give you a little more concrete example that's not so emotional. You know, I could say I'm never going to lose 35 pounds and be really depressed about that. And as I tune into that, I can tap. And that's great because I've done a really good job of tuning into the negative emotion and I'm getting the opportunity to tap on it. At the exact same time, I could say I'm going to lose 35 pounds this month because it's a new year. And the little voice inside of my head says, no, you're not. You've failed before. You're going to fail again. So when I'm tuning into the positive aspect, any part of me that is resisting that speaks up because it doesn't want this untrue statement to stay in my mind. It's going to bring the quote unquote truth that I'm going to fail. So when I say, I'm never going to do this, I'm going to fail, and I tap, I'm clearing the negative emotion. And when I say, I'm going to do it, anything that resists it comes forward, and I'm tapping for that which resists it. This is the same. I can tune in and feel the emotion of not being motivated, tap on that, and I'm doing work for it. And then when I try on the positive sensation, any part of me that resists that as being a true, good, helpful, healthful disposition is going to speak itself. And so I'm going to be tapping on it and knocking it out. And so it creates this really nice 1-2 punch of coming at the issue from two different sides. And it doesn't have to require any quote-unquote magic phrases to do it. I'm fully tuned in, I'm fully ready, I'm there, which makes it possible. So those are the first three kind of ways that we deal with the motivation. Tap for the times in the past where we've been motivated and lost that motivation. The second is to tap around the emotions we feel about not being motivated. The third is to tap for the motivation itself by going to the feeling the demotivated, feeling the motivated, feeling the demotivated, feeling the motivated, and just bounce back and forth between that as many times. So if you have any questions or thoughts about those first three things, feel free to just raise your hand, press star 2, or add something to the chat box. Now, the fourth thing that helps us stay motivated, and I spend a considerable amount of time in the goal area on the website talking about this, but I don't think it can be stated enough. For me, in my life, the fire of motivation comes from the reason why I want to achieve the goal. And that's important. I'm going to say that again. for me in my life, the fire of my motivation comes from me understanding why I want a change. For example, I want to lose weight, right? Now, I can say that I want to lose 15 pounds. And other than when I get on a scale, I have no idea what 15 pounds of weight on my body looks like. You know, I know what a 15-pound turkey looks like, and so I guess maybe I'm losing that much mass, but I couldn't imagine that coming out of me. So it's a thing that's really hard for me to have my mind wrapped around, and so it's going to be difficult for me to do difficult workouts and make difficult eating choices if I'm trying to achieve something that I am dispassionate about, losing 15 pounds. But if losing 15 pounds means that I have more energy in the morning, I don't get tired in the afternoon, my knees don't ache, my back doesn't hurt, you know, those are really specific, tangible reasons why I want to lose weight. I look better. I feel better about the way that I look. Whatever those reasons are. And so when I'm consistently tuning into the whys of my goal, when I'm consistently tuning into that place where I'm trying to understand the motivation, it's easier for me to stay motivated. So every goal statement that I write, I include whatever the goal is because it will give me, and then I add whatever it is. I want to lose 15 pounds because it will give me a greater feeling of health, more energy, a spring in my step. I won't be groggy in the afternoon. I'll feel better about the way I look, whatever it is. You know, so that when we're naming the goal, we keep coming back to the why. And so for me, every single week when I'm revisiting my goals in a really conscious way, and every single month when I'm reevaluating my goals in a conscious way, I'm not just reading the, I want this many people reading my newsletter, and I want this many people in the Ruas Center, and I want to lose this many pounds, and whatever those things are, I keep reminding myself why I want those things and what I get from them. And so it's much easier for me to stay connected to the goal. And when it's easier for me to stay connected to the goal, it's easier for me to be motivated. The reason why I want something is the fire of motivation that helps me to make difficult action consistently. So that's number five. Number four, I'm sorry. The fifth one is to recognize the fact that when it comes to taking action, the hardest part of taking action is the entry point. You know, where I'm sitting right now, I turn to my immediate right, and I just pointed at it, though you couldn't see it. I have this really fancy schmancy exercise bike. It is hooked up to Google Maps, and so I can plot out a training regimen on my computer, and my bike is hooked up to my Wi-Fi network. And so when I get on the bike, it actually takes the Wi-Fi network's map, and the bike can go from 20 degrees going uphill to 20 degrees going downhill. It goes up and down. And it will let me ride the exact terrain of the thing I plotted here. And I have another app that hooks up to my iPad that hooks up to Google Maps, so I can put it on the bike and it actually shows me the Google Street View of where I'm riding. So I can ride the streets of Paris, or I can ride the streets of Rome, or I can ride the town that I grew up in. I can ride to my grade school, like all of those things. It's really, really fun. And when I get on the bike, doing that ride is something I can do. Some rides are harder than others, but I can do it. And when I'm done, even though I'm a little sweaty, I feel great because I've done it. The hardest part about the ride is putting my riding shoes on, getting on the bike, and starting to pedal. The hardest thing of any of the tasks that I find difficult to do is the start, in most cases. Once I get started, I'm immersed in the task. And the resistance that I have, and the overwhelm that I have, and the whatever is there falls to the background because I'm now in the middle of the task. And so when we feel demotivated about something, it feels like this Herculean effort. I am so unmotivated, and I need to muster up enough energy to go ride my bike for 45 minutes. When in actuality, all I need to do is have enough energy and enough motivation to put on my shoes and start pedaling. Because once I put on my shoes and start pedaling, I'm going to make it through that exercise most times. You know, I need to write something. Once I open up the file and sit down and I fight my way through that opening paragraph, I'm going to sit there until it gets done, or I'm going to put a good effort into it. And so when we recognize the fact that our willpower is a resource that is not unlimited, and we recognize the fact that we don't need to use it to do everything, we just need it to start, it makes it easier for us to be in a circumstance to apply that resource, which is willpower, to get us to take the first step. Because once we recognize, once the first step happens, it's going. So I'm no longer fighting to do everything. I'm simply fighting to take the first step and to start. And so for me, many mornings when I have a to-do list that's full of things that I really don't want to do, I take a few moments and I tune into the fact to say, great, there are a bunch of things on this list I really don't want to do today. And I recognize if I do them, there's a really high value. I do this, this is what I get from it. Like I talked about earlier, that sense of why. And as I'm working on my list today, I recognize I just need to have the willpower and the maturity and the discipline to start. Because it would be really great to believe that we're just going to be motivated every moment of our day and every day of our life. That's not my experience. You know, for me, being a mature adult is doing the things that I know are right for me, regardless if I'm motivated to do them or not. And so when I recognize the fact the hardest part is the starting, then I'm able to get over the fact that I'm unmotivated, get going, and once I get into it, I'm going to get it done. So the hard part is the starting. When we name that, it makes it easier. So far, tap with and be easy with ourselves for our past dalliances into motivation that have evaporated. 2, tap for the emotion around not being motivated. 3, tap for the motivation. 4, know the why of the action. 5, recognize and name the hardest part is starting. And if I'm able to get through the hard part of starting, I will put myself into a position where I can be successful. The 6th thing kind of goes along and pairs up with the 5th and the 4th. It's this idea of kind of fake it until you make it. There are lots of times in my life where I've had the opportunity to be invited to social settings, and I don't know how much I've talked about this here. The way I originally found myself to tapping is dealing with my own social anxiety. So social settings were really hard for me. And in many cases, it wasn't the social settings. It was what we talked about past. It was the entry point. It was the starting the conversation. It was the walking into the room. And before an event happened, I would so dread it. And then once I got there, I had a really good time. And I found that it was easier for me to get in the door if I was pretending that I was having a really good time and pretending that I was really excited. And then I got myself there because I got myself into the groove of it. And this isn't something that's going to work every single time. And this is going to be a larger resource spend of your will and your motivation. But I have found when there's something that is dreadful for me to do, or it's something I'm not motivated to do, if I pretend I'm really motivated about it, and if I pretend I'm really ready to go, I can get myself taking the first few steps and I get into it. So again, this is responding to number 5, the hardest thing we can do is entry. You know, it's that inertia going from not moving to moving, from no action to action. That's a hard thing to do, to change from one state to another. So when I'm pretending, when I'm faking it, this is going to be great, and I really put myself into it and I really act it up, it's enough to get me out of the state of not action into the state of action. So Fake it till you make it. Number seven, I think it's really important that we're working towards a goal that we have a clear sense of where we started and we have a clear sense of where we are and we're measuring our progress. When I am working with clients over a long period of time, there's this inevitable conversation that I have with a client about the fourth or fifth session. And sometimes it comes a few sessions earlier and sometimes it comes a few sessions later, but almost inevitably this shows up. And what shows up is the feeling like no progress has been made because we forget how much pain we were in to begin with. And so, for example, I'm going to use a physical pain just because it's easier to comprehend. So let's say we start working and you're dealing with a chronic knee problem, and that chronic knee problem is a pain that's at the level of a 7. And because it's something that's chronic, it's not something that we're able to knock out in a single tapping session. And even with you tapping a little bit every single day, it's not knocking it out. We're making progress, but we're not knocking it out. Excuse me. And so after a number of sessions, you come back and you're really frustrated and you're really annoyed because your knee hurts so much. And it's stopping you from doing so many things. And every moment of the day, the pain is there. And so I ask, on 0 to 10, how big is the pain? And you respond, honestly, it's a 4. And I hate the fact that it's a 4, and I hate the fact that I feel the pain all the time. Now, because your experience of the pain is constant, it becomes the thing that you know, and it becomes the thing that you remember. And you forget what life was like when pain was at a 7. And we see this in really dramatic ways in a tapping session with the apex effect, where people just forget where the top of the problem was. And so it's important that we're able to document and measure the progress that we're making, because that will help us to stay motivated. You know, for things that there's a really easy metric, like weight or push-ups or how much time we spend on an exercise bike, that becomes a really easy measurable thing that I'm able to go, oh, look at the difference here. I can see really specifically how many more of these I can do or how much less of me there is. For other things, that's harder. You know, my mood in the morning, that's the thing that's a little harder to measure. So it's important that when we're tapping for something, or we're making any sort of transformation, we don't even have to be tapping for it, that we have a really clear and specific understanding of where we have started, and we have a very clear and specific understanding of where we would like to get to, so that as we're moving along, we can measure it. So after a couple of weeks, we can stop and go, okay, great, this is how far I've come. And that's something that's going to help us to stay motivated, because just the opposite happens. If we do something for a number of weeks and all we recognize is the pain, then it's going to be demotivating because it's going to feel like the work that we're doing has not been successful. So measuring your progress along the way. And then number 8, which builds upon number 7, making sure that we're celebrating our successes. You know, that when you make progress, give yourself a pat on the back. Recognize, state out loud, tell a friend, you know what, this has been a real struggle over the last 3 weeks, and this is what I've achieved. I'm really proud of myself. One of the things you might consider doing is coming up with a list of ways that you can celebrate that are helpful and healthful. You know, oftentimes in families, the way we celebrate is food, and for many of us, we're trying to make changes to our health, and celebratory food maybe isn't the best way to go. So actually have a list of things that you can do to celebrate successes. And they're things that you love, you know, going to the park, going to a movie, having dinner with a friend, whatever those things are. And so when you're successful, go and celebrate them. So it's important to remember that motivation and willpower is a limited resource. And multiple studies have shown that the more willpower we exert to take action, the less willpower we have later in the day to make good, successful choices. So if we do a number of things, it's going to make it easier for us to stay motivated so we're not using willpower, and where we're taking action in such a way that we're effectively applying that tool of willpower, we can be successful much sooner and much faster. So again, the eight things are making sure we're going back and we're clearing up any emotion that we have around issues in the past where we were motivated, lost that motivation. Second, tap for the emotion you have for the places that you are not motivated. Three, tap for being demotivated by the feeling of no motivation, motivation. No motivation, motivation. Number four, know why you want your things. Our why becomes the fire of motivation. Five, recognize and remember the entry point is the hardest part. And if we apply our willpower to that point and we remind ourselves, I don't have to fight to do the whole thing. I only have to fight to start. It'll make it easier for us to take action. Six, fake it until you make it. Try the feeling of motivation on when you don't have it. Pretend it's there and go for it. Seven, measure your steps and measure your progress so that you can see how clearly you are moving forward. And eight, celebrate your successes. If you take these things, you don't have to take all eight of them, but if you start applying them, you're going to find that the energy you need to take the hard action is there. So before we check out, if you got any questions, just raise your hand by pressing star 2 or type there into the chat box and we'll get you along. As a reminder, I hope in 2 weeks we're going to be doing our Q&A call and you'll be getting email reminders like you did for this. So far, the feedback has been really positive to moving to a daily email, reminding you to use the tapping resources. I'd love more feedback on that. Know that they're going to keep coming, and hopefully that's a good and useful thing. As always, if you have a topic that you'd like to see us cover in one of these calls, feel free to drop me a note if it's a bigger topic. And the next class that we do is going to be your issues. Any questions that you have, any issues that you have, then we'll get a chance to tap specifically for what you want to do. Doesn't look like there are any hands raised, and it doesn't look like anybody has added any questions over in the chat box. So I think we're going to call it good. I hope you have an awesome Tuesday night. I hope you wake up tomorrow morning motivated and going after your goals. For Tapping Q&A and the Ruah Center, this is Gene Montristelli. Thanks for spending some time with me tonight, and I will talk to you real soon. Good night.